Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But why don't you take your seats? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Well, you know, I think one of the first ever verses I learned, how many of you, Jeremiah 29:11 was one of the first verses you ever learned? Wave at me if it was. Right. And so why don't we say it together? For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. If we can have it in the NIV, actually, I'm going to chop between translations today. So, you see, the scripture says that God's got a bunch of plans for you. Just say that now. God has some plans for my life. His plans are always linked to his purpose. Isn't that right? So often I think when we are, you know, trying to work out what we should be doing, you know, sometimes we kind of think that we've got to somehow try and work it out ourselves, and we feel sometimes like we're making things up as we go along, but God has a plan. But you see, how does God get his plans to us? Now, Alero made reference to, it was a leadership training day that we had yesterday, but Alero made reference to one of the ways that we found out how to make a cake. So if you want to bake a cake, you don't just think, oh, I fancy a banana cake. So I know there's bananas and flour in a cake. So let me just pop down to Sainsbury's, get some bananas, some flour, some eggs, just mix it all together, pop it in the oven. Now we can, whoops, no, because it would be disgusting. So if we want to bake a cake, we get a recipe. Isn't that right? That's the how. But you see, God's never yet, over my life, I've never yet woken up, gone downstairs, and found a letter in the mail from God saying, "Dear Joe, here's the plan for the next 2 years." Has anyone else that ever happened to you? So you see, how does God communicate his plans and purposes for our lives to us? And you see, this is what I want to look at. You see, the way it happens, because what was it in me? You know, at some point in my life, I decided I wanted to be married. You see, God had a plan for me. Are you hearing me? A massive part of me fulfilling my destiny has been about meeting the man that was my life, is my life partner. And at some point growing up, I suddenly started to get this desire. You know, now it's not hard. I mean, marriage is not a great example because, you know, you just need as a child to be reading about Cinderella and she gets the prince. And so, you know, I want to be like Cinderella. But in other areas, think about some of the things you've done. You know, I remember Ruth saying that, you know, she couldn't focus. She was extremely one of these people who was just easily distracted. I was very surprised to hear it. But numbers fascinated her. And so when there was numbers in front of her, she had to beat them. And she had this sense of nothing would distract her from numbers. So what was it? You see, and Ruth ended up an accountant, and still, even in the body of Christ, God uses her. She's the treasurer here in this ministry. And she has a gift with numbers. God had a plan. Are you hearing me? But you see, it started with a desire. I want you to think about any area where you know, look, anyone here part of the worship team, raise up your hand. Raise up your hand if you're part of the worship team. You see, there'll have been a time when you just started to get a desire. Is that right? Did all of you that happened? You just wanted to sing for Jesus. You know, you wanted to just be part of that. Now, let me tell you something. Let me tell you how I know it's God. I've never wanted to be part of the worship team. Never once in my life have I thought, wow. In fact, you know, when we were in the really early days and, you know, desperate for anyone to do anything, and I led worship twice. I think probably Temmie's the only one who was around back then, but I led worship twice. The first time was okay. The second time, I started leading a song a whole octave too high. And rather than people joining in, they just started laughing. Because I was squeaking as well, you know. Even I couldn't sing it. You see, the plans that God has for your life, God sows them into your heart through things called desires and dreams. Something drops on the inside. You start to get this desire. And it grows. And it won't go away. And it burns. And it's something that you just feel, wow, I just love to do that. I mean, there's things my husband wants to do that I would never want to do in a month of Sundays. Are you hearing me? And those things should help me realize that the things I do want to do are because God is stirring that on the inside of me. So you see, God works with dreams and desires. He puts something on the inside of us because he has a plan for our lives. And, you know, I think one of the big things that we all at times will struggle with when we want to pursue something is, well, how do I know if it's God? Anyone ever felt that? How do I know if that's God or just me? How do I know if that's really what God wants to do through me or whether I'm just having some ridiculous, high and mighty, you know, trumped up ideas about myself? Anyone ever worried about that? Just thought, is it me? Is it God? Well, I want us just to look. Psalm 37, verse 4. We all know this scripture. Another really well-known one. And it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know, I got saved as a teenager, and probably for the first 20 years of my salvation, I always read that one way. And then for about the last 15 years, I've read it differently. Because although I believe it both ways is truth, you see, you can either say, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. In other words, you could read that saying, okay, you know, I really want a BMW. You know, I want a blue BMW. So I'm going to quickly pop into the presence of God, do a bit of delighting. You know, delight, delight, delight. Lord, I love you, I love you. And then quickly run out and look in the drive. Is the BMW there? You know, I mean, I'm exaggerating. That's one way. In other words, when we truly do delight in the Lord, we will see things come about and come to pass in our lives. But I prefer the other way around. That when we delight ourselves in the Lord, then he will plant on the inside of us the desires that he wants to us to have in our hearts. Are you hearing me? You know, and so you see, how do you know whether your desire is from the Lord? Well, you see, if it's one of those desires that, you know what, you're fed up of believing for it, you've waited and hung around for far too long, but you know, when you get in the presence of God and you start to pray, it just won't go away. That, you know, when you're in the right place at the right time with God and you're serving him, that desire just keeps re-emerging and coming back up. Are you hearing me? You see, one of the things about the desires God plants is when he puts it there, it won't go away. I'm going to talk about things that can happen to it, but it won't completely go away. Now, another way, you see, let me use this as an example. You see, if you look at this cup, here's a cup, right? We all know this. Now, this cup's got something around it. I remember when these first got invented, these little things. Now, I don't know if you remember the first time you saw one of these, but I remember the first time I saw one and going, what's that for? You know, have you ever found something at home? You know, a piece of metal, and you pick it up, and you have a good look at it, thinking, I wonder what that's for. Have you ever done that? I seem to find the most bizarre bits of metal around my house all the time, and I'll pick them up. What's this for? Or else, you know, you walk into a shop, and you know, you pick up a spoon, but then it's got a little flipped bit on the end. You think, well, what's that for? And you look at it a while, what's this for? And then you go up to the sales assistant. Sorry, what's this one? Say, oh, well, that's a grapefruit spoon. How many of you have seen a grapefruit spoon? You see, a grapefruit spoon has a knife on the other end. so that you can soar. I'm sure it's not called soaring, but you saw your way around the fruit in the middle, and then you you cut it up, and then you turn it around, and you eat your grapefruit. You see, like this, what's it for? What's my point? Have you ever stopped and wondered why you've got a good voice? Have you ever wondered, you know, I write books, as most of you know, but do you know how many years it took me to learn to write? I mean, really, I had to work hard. I was not a natural writer. Are you hearing me? I was like the ant when it came to writing. I had to work really, really, really hard. And for years, I was in PR, and I worked for journalists, former journalists were my bosses, and I would write a press release, and they were heartless. So many of my bosses just were really insensitive, and they would even use red. I thought red pens were just for school. You know, talk about making you feel this small. So I'd get my press release handed back with just red all across it, things crossed out. You know, are you ever going to learn to write, Joe? And I kind of think, ugh, and walk away. And they'd say, look, think about it like that. Think about it like this. You need to do this. And I worked so hard. But some of you, I've seen your writing. And you can write. Well, what's it for? Is it just to lay dormant and sit there? What are your talents for? You see, he has a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got some, you know, some millions of people out there that God loves just as much as he loves you. And he's put some gifts, some talents, some things on the inside of you. And they're not just, it's not just a grape, you know, that grapefruit spoon. It looks like that for a purpose. Are you hearing me? You know? And so there are these desires on the inside. Now, the other interesting thing is James 1 says to us that desire gives birth. Now, in that particular verse, it's talking about sin, but it's a universal principle that when I have a desire and that desire is fed and that desire is alive, it's almost impossible not to do anything about it. And so, you see, desire is something that God invented, the enemy tried to defile, but God invented to keep you determined to actually fulfill the plans that God has for you. Are you hearing me? So you see, he has these plans, but he has this wonderful partnership route that he develops them, where he puts them on the inside in seed form. And then he says to you and me, he says, you know what, you're not robots. You're not just pets. I'm not just going to control you by a process of training into the person that you need to be to get the job done. No, I'm going to work in partnership with you. And so desire is powerful. There are certain desires in my heart so strong and they won't go away. And, you know, I go to sleep thinking about them. I wake up thinking about them. I pray about them. I talk about them. And those desires keep me motivated to get on with the job God's got for me. Are you hearing me? So you see, there's a relationship between a dream and a desire. Now, I want us to start to look at something. You see, how many of you've had dreams? But you see, the thing about a dream is something that we're looking at, that we think about. Isn't that right? You know, that we our imagination gets filled with, that we get motivated by. But the moment the dream stops provoking desire, then suddenly that dream is no longer so powerful. Do you understand what I'm saying? How many of you, there are dreams that you once had that have kind of fizzled a bit, that aren't so alive? Put your hand up. If there have been things that you once really wanted to do, you had a desire to do for God, maybe it was in ministry, maybe it was in business, maybe it was creative, but it's kind of fizzled. You see, desire is powerful. So a dream without desire almost becomes an impotent dream. A dream lacking the power within itself to get the job done. Are you hearing me? And you know, I was praying and I heard the Lord so clearly say something to me. He said, it's time for you to dust off the dormant dreams. Shall I say that again? It's time for you to dust off the dormant dreams. You know, the great thing about that is I heard God say at the beginning of that, it's time. And the great thing about that is when God says it's time, what does it mean? You know, when he just says dust off the dormant dreams, it might just be, you know, because I want you just to persevere a bit more. But when he says it's time, we need to be encouraged. Are you hearing me? If I can just have my little help at the front, that would be wonderful. You see, the thing about dreams, if you think of Joseph, and age 17, he has some dreams. You all know the story, don't you? And I'll never forget when Paolo ministered a message about that and said that he really believes that what kept, you see, the question he was asking is, what kept Joseph pure when he's being tempted by Pharaoh's wife, by Potiphar's wife? Why did Joseph remain pure? Yes, I'm sure he loved the Lord, but we all know that loving God alone isn't always enough to keep us on the right track. If you could just bring it here, please, that would be great. Wonderful. Just right in front of the pulpit. Thank you. Lovely. And then that over the top. Lovely. Thank you. Just facing like that. You see, the love for God on its own. You know, I really love God, but he's made us in his image. And he's a God with a mission. Are you hearing me? And mission gets us up in the morning. You see, it's love that keeps us going when the mission's all going horribly wrong. But it's mission that gets us up in the morning. You see, what Pastor P said is that his view was that it was the dream on the inside of Joseph's heart, the desire to see that dream fulfilled, that kept him pure, that kept him on the straight and narrow when temptation was coming on every side. You see, the dream on the inside is so powerful when we can keep it alive. But you see, what the enemy wants to do is he wants you and I to fail in our purpose. Is that true? Satan wants me to fail. He wants you to fail. Which means he doesn't want you to fulfill the plans of God. Which also means that he will find any which way he can to try and diminish your dreams somehow. Because your dreams, when they're alive, produce the desire to just keep pursuing until the job's done. Are you hearing me? So the devil hates your dreams. He wants you to doubt that your dreams are from God, because if he can get you doubting, then you'll be double-minded. Yes? He wants you to give up on your dreams. He wants you to forget your dreams. He wants you to be hurt by your dreams. Because he knows that if that dream stays alive, then you are going to continue against all odds. That dream will get you up in the morning. That dream will motivate you. Are you hearing me? You see, God wants your dreams alive. The devil wants them dead. Now, there are a number of things that can happen in our lives. But before I say this, you see, the human heart. One of my favorite scriptures, and if we can have it on the screen, Proverbs 20:27. Because we learn so much from this scripture. Because it says, the lamp of the Lord searches the spirit of man. New King James. Stay in New King James unless I mention another translation. I'll just wait for that. The spirit of man, I'll tell you what it says. The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of the heart. Now, I want you to see three things in that scripture. Number one, it says that God is searching your heart. Now, you may have heard me say this before, but anytime I need to search, it means that it's a fairly complicated place. You know, do I tell yesterday's story? It got to the end of our training yesterday, and Benji had agreed to meet us back here. He'd been out for the day, and to meet us back here at the end of the training to come home with me. And he says to me, you know, Mummy, please can I have the car keys? And I said, yeah, get them in my bag. He comes back and he says, I can't find them. You look for them. So I searched through my bag. My car keys are missing. Now, I don't lose my car keys. There's many things that I've mislaid before, but car keys isn't one of them. And I'm just thinking, oh my goodness, like, where could they have been? Because we walked in the morning, we came straight to the back, and then to the, I mean, there was nowhere I went. Do you understand? You know when you know, let me backtrack and, you know, retrace my steps. But there was nowhere I'd gone. I mean, literally, I'd come straight into the auditorium. I didn't go via the office. I didn't go via the cafe, nothing. And I'm just going, God, you know, and I'm conscious. Already, you know, my mind's going there. Oh, my goodness, the only other car key is at home. And the only way to get it and get back would mean me asking, I've already got the whole thing. Oh, no, I cannot do this. I would have to ask Anto to take me all the way home to get the car key. And then he'd have to bring me all the way back for me to then use the other car. And then I'd have to pay for all the replacement car keys and try to do all that before my husband got back. And then at least leave it 3 months before I told him the truth. And for those who understand that I'm married to a far too perfect man, then you'll understand why all that was going through my mind. And I'm just like, God, where are my car keys? Where are my car keys? I'm searching. We're talking about searching. Where are my car keys? And you know, there's just Godfrey, Anto, Mal, and my son, and Benji here. And I'm just like, where are they? Benji turns to me and says, what did you do with the coffee cup? Thank God for spirit-led sons and daughters. He said, Mummy, what did you do with the coffee cup? Like, I bought a Costa on the way in. He said, what did you do with that coffee cup when you came in the building? Now, how did he even know I hadn't left it in the car? I mean, most people would just leave it there. It was empty. I just wanted to trash it. I didn't want to clutter my car. So I said, I put it in the bin. And he looked at me and said, I said, I can't have put my car keys in the coffee cup. I'm now thinking, did I put my car keys in my car? Anyway, he said, well, let's look, Mummy. He literally gets this massive bin to stand on. We're talking the outside, disgusting black bin. He stands on this big thing. He takes his top off because he doesn't want to spoil his nice, you know, designer T-shirt. So he's now standing there in trousers and a bare top. And he's leaning over with a stick, and he starts pushing the coffee cup. Well, it's empty. I'm like, oh. But then I thought, of course, I would not have put my car keys in my coffee cup. I mean, who does that? Yeah, you'd be surprised. But then my son carries on searching in the disgusting dustbin out there, pushing things around. He goes, Mummy, look. My car keys were in the dustbin. So he now literally had to virtually dive into the dustbin. And I am assured that my husband is not watching on Facebook Live because South Africa is on the same time zone. See, a woman with a plan. And he leans and pulls them out. My car keys. So turn to your neighbor and say, Pastor P doesn't need to know. Yes. Searching. Are you hearing me? You see, the Spirit of the Lord has to search, which means that our... He's messaging. He's not. You know what one time we should do? We should set up a prank. And over a month, we should make some fake parking tickets and fake speeding fine letters and just bombard him for a month until he realised that we can all make mistakes. But anyway. Yes, the man who's never had a speeding ticket, never had a parking fine, I get to marry him. You need to thank God for your spouse. They make mistakes. Anyway, searching. the inner depths. You know this word, the inner depths? It actually means apartments. Chambers. Apartments is the actual Hebrew word. In other words, our hearts have so many different apartments, rooms, caves, dungeons, dumpsters. You know, our heart is full of them. And you see, let me tell you what happens. You see, there are three things I want to mention in particular that try and really try and wreck our dreams. Because you see, what happens is we've got a dream, it's alive, and then stuff happens. Sometimes it's just delay. I mean, gosh, how must Abraham have felt? He's got a dream. He's got a dream to be a daddy. You know, and he's heard the Most High, and he's got this dream to be a daddy, but he just, I mean, the wait, he keeps on waiting and waiting and believing and waiting. How many years, anyone know? 25 years. You know, that's why I think we don't call him the father of Isaac in Scripture. Because he gave birth to Isaac, but you know what? What he really gave birth to was a new level of faith. He's called the father of faith because boy, did he demonstrate and illustrate to you and me how to keep the dream alive, even when the delay is delaying and delaying and delaying. Are you hearing me? See, sometimes it's delay. Sometimes it's disappointment. You know, one example for me was 2015. As many of you know, one of my books was launched across America, and my publisher had said to me, you know, we need to get as much TV exposure as possible. And so he said, you know, you need to do everything you can, and we will do everything we can to get you on some of the key TV programs. But the one that we really want you on, and he said it from the very day that I was offered a contract, a publishing contract, that day he said, we just need to get you on Sid Roth. If we can get you on Sid Roth, it's supernatural. You know, it will be downhill from then. And you know, sometimes it's people, what people say, and it just plants a dream, a seed, a desire on the inside of you. And so I remember, you know, because we've got awesome prayer warriors here in Harvest, and I produced a little bookmark. And the bookmark had the prayer requests for the book. You know, and I think it may have just said US TV, but if it just said that, what it really said in my heart was Sid Roth. It's supernatural. The desire was strong, and I knew it was part of the plan and purpose of God to get this book out, because the testimonies of people who read the book were extraordinary. You see, God had a plan to use some words to change some lives. Are you hearing me? And then one day I'm abroad, we're running, I'm Healed for Life overseas, and I'm sitting in a car on my way, and I get a call from the chief executive of the publishing house saying, well done, Joe, fantastic news, Sid Roth, they want you. And I remember I was so excited, and oh my goodness, that's amazing, praise God. And, you know, did the trip there and then, you know, got home. And then I discover 5 days later that he'd misunderstood. That the chief executive had misunderstood what the publicist was asking him to ask me. Because the publicist said, please, if Sid Roth are going to do this, they would want, because of a nice English accent, they love the English accent, they would want an audiobook. So he was just supposed to say, would you be willing, in the event that Sid Roth wants you, would you be willing to do an audiobook? But he misunderstood. And so suddenly the they want you was, well, they might want you, but we don't know. And then they might want you went to, they probably don't want you, and then went to, no, they definitely don't want you. And then I just kept meeting people who kept telling me, oh, Sid Roth's my best mate. I mean, that guy obviously has a lot of best mates. Because I just kept meeting people, and they all said, I'll give him a call. you know, all these people, you know, and they say, oh, look, there's his number on my phone. You know, look, we were texting yesterday. I'll give him a call. I preached at someone's church. He was Sid Roth's best mate. I went to stay with some friends in Lakeland. This woman there, she was Sid Roth's best mate. You know, I'm then doing a book signing and I meet another author and he's on the board of Sid Roth. And of course, they are best mates. So everywhere I go, I'm meeting different people saying, I can make this happen. And you see, every time someone said that, what did it do? It stirred up the dream. But then every time that they said, oh, sorry, he didn't get back to me. Oh, suddenly this thing that had once been a dream now hurt. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, the very thing that once would get me up in the morning, I was just thinking, no, I just don't even mention that name. Sid who? You know, suddenly like the very, and I'd, you know, you'd suddenly find yourself on social media and everybody's sharing Sid Roth quotes and shows and everyone is suddenly on Sid Roth, except me. You know, everyone. And I'm starting to feel I don't even want to be on Sid Roth. I don't like Sid Roth. Sid Roth's mean, you know, and just don't. And then I'd meet people and they'd go, Sid Roth, no! You see, how can you tell a dream's from God that even the mention of the name sometimes, you know, you can't just, you don't get neutral about dreams. They either make you go, get away from me, you're mean. Or you're motivated by it. See, what's the enemy wanting to do? He's wanting to use disappointment in your life to cause you to reject the dream. You see, Sid Roth isn't the big dream, but this is the way dreams work. There's a big dream that God needs you to fulfill. There's a big purpose. But to get to the big purpose, you need to fulfill some mini plans that are the gateways, the doorways, the stairways. Are you hearing me? That will lead you into the big purpose. Now, sometimes we're very good at holding on to the big dreams because they're in 10 years' time. But the little dreams that we know are from God, those things that we need to do something about or we could be doing something about, but we're not anymore because stuff happened that just hurt. Are you hearing me? You know, God spoke to me. And as he spoke to you, he said, Joe, it's time to dust off that dream to be on Sid Roth. Even saying it now, I don't like it. I promise you I'll walk in love whenever the day comes that I meet the man. I promise you that. But you can pray for me that I don't like slap him first and then hug him, you know, and pretend I was, you know, swatting a mozzie, you know. Very good at my little plans, you know. But you see, God doesn't want us to give up on the dream. He wants us to deal with the disappointment. He wants us to go back to his drawing board, to those pictures that he painted on the inside that are part of your purpose. And he wants you to say, I'm willing to go back. Another thing that happens, delay, disappointment, derision. Derision. What do I mean? You see, it might be that I remember when I was at university, first year, and there was a debate in the common room at the halls of residence where I was. And we all started chatting. I don't mean there was an organized debate. And it was about abortion. And there were about 22 students just sitting in that common room. And, you know, it was my first or second week at university. And I was the only one in that room who did not believe in abortion. I was anti-abortion. I still am. Doesn't mean that I don't want to help people who've had an abortion. But I now am saying what I believed. Before I knew it, I had literally about 20 students shouting at me, pointing at me, yelling at me. The spew that came forth hurt me. I mean, I felt so under attack in a democratic society. For my beliefs. You see, some of you, you've had a dream and people have ridiculed it. You've had a desire and even family members have said, you really? You think you can do that? The very dream has been, it's been derided, I've forgotten the word now. Anyway, by others. It's been torn down. It's been ridiculed. It's been put down. Are you hearing me? And God is saying, son, daughter, it's time to go back to the dream. You know, people who are called to street evangelism, maybe you once knocked on a door and you got torn to shreds and you're just wounded. God wants you to go back to the dream. You see, this is the way the Lord showed it to me. Remember, I said our hearts are like this vast arena with many apartments and rooms and caverns. And you see, there are areas where we have so much clutter in our hearts. We have so much stuff in there, you know, that, and some of it should be in the garbage. We've got a dustbin here. Some of what's, you know, really should be in the dustbin, but we've never dealt with it, and so it's just somehow in the dustbin of our soul. But you see, what the Lord's saying is it's time to go back. You know, some of you, God has put on your heart that CD. You know, and it's buried beneath some Tupperware and rubbish and old memories that God wants to deal with separately. But there was a dream on the inside of you at one time, and you know that that CD was from the Lord. He's saying it's time to dust off the dreams. You know, maybe there's a book on the inside of you. Books are work, which is why some of us end up never getting round to it. They're hard work. But you know what? When God's got a plan and God's got a purpose, he will give you the determination to get the job done. Are you hearing me? Others of you, maybe God's given you a business dream. The newest form of sunglasses that do really special things. Maybe they become a mirror. I don't mean mirror sunglasses. I mean that you take your sunglasses off and you flip a switch and suddenly... and then on they go again. I don't know what your business dream is. But you see, the problem is that our dreams are in between all this rubbish that's there too. Maybe your dream is for Mr. Huggy to come into your life. That teddy bear that you've been waiting for. No, that I couldn't find a doll. No one in my house seems to have liked dolls when they were little. They're all into teddy bears. But you see, maybe there's that dream to be married, but you've waited and you've waited and you've waited and you've just thought, you know what? I've waited too long. And you know what? Let's just be content to be single. But if God put that dream on the inside of you, it's because he wants you and him to partner together to see it fulfilled. You know, you think of Abraham. You think of what it must have been like for him. He waited 25 years. Are you hearing me? He waited 25 years, but then the dream became a reality. You know, we all know the scripture that says the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. And I want to remind you something that Jerry Savelle said when he came to Harvest. He said, the honest truth is that the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. Good or bad. Sometimes we get so fed up of the delays that we expect disappointment. What am I going to do next time someone says to me, Sid Roth, oh, he's my
best friend.
Am I going to go, oh, yeah, I'm sure he is? Because you never know when God is going to do the miracle and turn it all around. Are you hearing me? You never know when. And you see, God's waiting for faith on the inside. He's waiting for us to be ready. And let me tell you something about delay. Because some of you are saying, well, if it really is God's plan, if it really is his purpose, why the delay? Why have I had to wait so long? Surely that must mean I got it wrong. Let me tell you. What was happening while Joseph was waiting? He was in captivity. He was a slave. He was then put in prison. He had to wait, actually, 22 years for the actual dream to come to pass. 22 years. But listen, what was God doing while he was waiting? God was working on Joseph. God was changing Joseph. God was maturing Joseph. God was developing endurance. He was making Joseph into a man who would become one of Israel's greatest ever leaders. Are you hearing me? The delays, you know what? Sometimes the delays weren't God's purpose. But do you know what? He's the God who works all things together for your good. Would you stand up, please? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Carlyon, thank you, Lord God. I just want you to shut your eyes in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And just right now, if you realize, you see, it's a process. Even dusting off our dreams is a process, because if you don't deal with the disappointment, next time you whiff something similar, you're just going to back off again. You've got to deal with the disappointment. You've got to deal, if you were traumatized, you know, like that experience at university was really horrible. Maybe things have been said, have been done. Maybe it's just the length of the wait. But right now, if you realize that there's been some sadness, some disappointment, some upset in your heart as a result of the wait, right now, just start to talk to the Lord. Speak to him about that. Tell him the truth. God, I feel like I've been waiting forever. It hurt when this happened. Just talk to the Lord in these moments. Thank you, Jesus. And you might need to finish this off in your own secret place, just really dealing with those disappointments, dealing with anything that happened that has caused you to detach yourself from your dreams. But let me tell you, those ones from God, they're still hidden somewhere in your heart. And so right now, I want you now to make those decisions, to make that decision. Father, I am going to dust off my dreams again. I'm going to dust off my dreams. I'm going to reignite the desire in my heart, the desire to do these things that you've called me to do. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And right now, I want you to picture some of those things and again, make that choice. I expect the best. I expect the best of you, O Lord, because you're the Father and everything that comes from you is good. You don't give us bad gifts. You give us good gifts. So I expect the best, Almighty God. And now I want us just to put our hands together to the Lord Jesus in gratitude. In gratitude, knowing that every plan, every purpose that he has for our lives shall be accomplished as we partner, O Lord, with your Spirit. We get back up. We get on the race. We will run the race, O Lord, until we reach the finish line. And we will give you all the praise and all the glory, O Lord. We give you all the praise and all the glory, O Lord.